Blog Talk Radio.
Brooklyn Americana and Swiss Alps Soul. We talked to Bell House and Indiana Grace. It's Music Friday Live, and this is going to be a really, really interesting program, so don't go anywhere. From Los Angeles, California, the music capital of the world, it's Music Friday Live, brought to you by World Arts, which is a global platform for musicians, fans, and the music industry, and by MySanFelipeVacation.com, which is your source for a great getaway on the Sea of Cortez. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. These bands are here to talk with you. Why not today you email in your questions and comments to MusicFridayLive@gmail.com. We're not taking calls in today. It's a little technical thing that my engineer has not explained to me yet, but maybe we will later in the show. I want to welcome our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates who are going to hear us later today. And to those of you listening to us on Stitcher and on iTunes, and also who will hear us tonight in London on the Artist Echoes Network. So if you're listening live and you have questions or comments, email in. If you are listening on a podcast or a rebroadcast, email your questions in to musicfridaylive.com, and we'll forward them to our guests so they can reply directly to you. Well, first of all, let me warn everybody, I have a little bit of a hangover of a cold, so once in a while I may have to cough. Now, we have a little red button on the microphone that's called the cough button, and I will push it when I cough so you don't have to endure that, but it makes it sound like I've disappeared. I haven't. I'm here, and I'll be back in a second or two. In fact, here it comes. Now, that wasn't so bad, was it? Well, when we had Bell House on Music Friday Live in June of last year, they called themselves an emerging indie string Americana band. Well, they were more than emerging last year, and they have definitely emerged this year with two hot singles, one hot single I know of released this month, maybe two, they'll tell me in a minute, and a dynamite album set to drop January 20th of next year, which is not that far away. Formed in 2013 and currently based in Brooklyn, Bell House is in between down-home roots music and intellectual folk rock. They capture the American folk rock spirit with strong female-led vocals and addictive rhythms that bring back the 60s, but they're as current as any band out there today. Bell House delivers a sound that embraces genres from Celtic traditional, Appalachian, folk revival, soul, Motown, and even a bit of rock. And best of all, two of the band members are here with us today, and they're letting us have a peek at their new album. Sarah Elizabeth Haynes and Jess T. Clinton, welcome back. It's so good to talk to you again.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Just so our audience knows who's who, Jess, say hello.
Hi, I'm Jess.
Okay.
And I'm Sarah.
Okay, all right. And Jess, you're in Brooklyn, and is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And Sarah, you're in Florida?
I'm currently in Miami, yeah.
In Miami, okay. Are you always that far apart?
No. I've been gone on the road for a couple weeks now, but I'm coming home in 2 weeks, so.
Okay.
I'm glad I miss her.
and you're soaking up the sunshine too, I'll bet. Well, you are going to release a new album on January 20th. It's called Capsize. Now, have you been working on this album since last time we talked?
In some capacity. Some of the songs have been around and have been in our repertoire for a little while. But we also have quite a bit of new material that was written, you know, just before we went into the studio, and also brought in by a new songwriter, Mackenzie Shivers, who joined the band last year. So it's kind of this nice mix of things that have been around for a while and have evolved, and then kind of a new, more current version of us as well.
Well, we have the album. Thank you very much for a little peek at it. And we're going to give our audience little samples. So here is the title song, Capsized. I could listen to that all day long. In fact, I did yesterday. Who's singing on that?
That's me. This is Jess.
That's Jess.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The other element of that song that resonates so beautifully is the viola. And I assume that you, Sarah, on the viola. Is that right?
Yeah. There's like a choir of me on that song. I arranged this little like 4-part viola thing, and so it kind of, yeah, it's a funny moment.
Yeah, it's really
better than
an
Sarah's
amazing
choir,
sound.
Sarah.
It's a
exactly.
Choir. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious about the title. For a band as successful as Bell House, the word capsize seems like an unusual title. Now, I understand the lines that even though there are ways to go that we could say we're wise, I'd rather with you float capsized, and that's pure poetry. But why capsized?
The practical explanation would be that, you know, it comes from the song. This is a song that's been around for a while. I wrote it a few years ago after a pretty painful separation with somebody that I was coming to terms with. It just wasn't gonna work out with. But the beautiful thing, I think, about this song is that it kind of has reinvented itself, and I think it's now appropriate kind of going into what I think a lot of people consider to be kind of an unknown period of time and a lot of confusing, conflicting elements out there in the world right now.
We talked as a band a little bit about this and how appropriate we felt the title was, just because like the band has kind of had a turnover in the past year or so, and in a very positive way. And I think that, you know, it capsized. It's not, yeah, we didn't really consider it like a, it's not a bad thing. It's in fact kind of a lovely rebirth. In a
okay,
way.
All right. All bands go through turnover except the Beatles and the Stones, and even they did initially. So nothing wrong with that. We're talking with Sarah Elizabeth Haynes and Jess T. Clinton of the New York-based Americana group, Bell House. You can talk with them, but we only have email right now. So email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Well, we have another song I want to play, and this one is going to be released on, I believe, the 16th of January. Is that correct? It's Snow?
Right? December.
December, right.
16th of December,
December,
yes.
Sorry. Right, and appropriately, it's titled Snow, and it's equally addictive, and I think that McKinsey wrote this one. Here we go. This is
McKinsey.
Snow.
Mm-hmm.
It's brighter here than I remember, baby. Used to shield me from the sun. Your tall, handsome figure looming, it's gloomy and lonesome here without you. It's warmer here
even though I'm a Southern Californian, I very much appreciate the lines, but winter makes me hard, keeps me strong, build a better life away from it all, past the city beams, city screams, where we lost it all. Now, there are many photographs of the band or members of it in the snow. So am I hearing as much a yearning for a clean, white, frosted countryside as I am a cry of loss?
I'm sure, actually. There's Mackenzie Shivers, who is the newest songwriter in the band, who has a wonderful solo arsenal and career as well, brought this song to us for the new album. And she is from she's from a warm place like I am. She's from Tampa, Florida, originally. And so I think that she and her husband have been settled here in New York for a while. So I think it's kind of a love song to that, while also exploring the fact that there's, you know, winter can be a bit of a bleaker time when you might feel the need to really hold on and pull those in who you're close to.
Okay. And then she's called Shiver, so I guess it all fits together. And she's in Ireland right now. What?
Oh, yes, she is. She'll be the first to admit that she actually really can't stand the heat. So it is truly a love song to snow, I think.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm glad that some of you appreciate the snow. That means that people like me don't have to, because I can't stand the cold. Right? Well, she's in Ireland right now, which is why we're not talking with her. Is she going to be bringing back some new Celtic material?
I hope so. Yeah, we hope so. She's definitely steeped in it, and we're all really big fans of it. And she definitely loves Ireland and loves Celtic music, and it just really flows through what she does really beautifully. So yeah, we're happy she's there, and we're happy she's coming back too.
Well, there's a lot of Celtic feel in your music. In fact, there's a song on the upcoming album, actually a song you released as a single, that the two of you wrote, and I'm going to give an extended play to it because it's so powerful, and it does have that kind of Celtic feel to it. This is Devil's Sound. Cannot get it out of your mind. It's so powerful and it's so urgent. And the lyrics in it, cowards grayer than coal smolder in sorrow in miscreant foals. What drugs were you using when you wrote that?
Oh, man. Coffee, strong coffee.
Yeah.
Now, there's something special about the version I just played, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah, the version you just heard is what you call the album version, and the single version out now picks up kind of where the guitar comes in, where you'd more kind of typically start the melodic or, you know, what you'd think of as the song. So the instrumental kind of cacophony and ambience is something that's going to come out on the album on January 20th. So we're excited to preview it for people, though, because it was a lot of fun to make.
Yeah, kind of like a transitional moment from the last song into that song.
Right.
Which was really fun to play in the studio.
Yeah, from Capsize into that. It was great.
What was that done in the first take, or did you have to do some more?
I think we did
three takes, and then we chose the one we liked the most.
Doing that all day. I think we had to cut ourselves off, you know. Yeah.
Oh, we got some emails. We got people in here who obviously have been looking at your website, because Billy in Hollywood wants to know what's the date of your gig at the Hotel Cafe and what room will you be in?
So our gig, we will be at the Hotel Cafe on January 21st. It's the day after the album comes out. We will have it for sale with us there, and we will be on the second stage. And so we'll be there January 21st, second stage at 8 p.m. And we are following a really amazing songwriter named Ali Tadros, who will be playing there as well, who we're friends with, and she's just amazing.
She's amazing. She's playing at 7, and then we're going to play right after her.
So I highly recommend that you get there at 7 o'clock and take in the both of us, because
releasing an album. She's also releasing her album, Hungry Ghost, so I think it's like around the same time.
It'll
be a
time.
Fun show.
It'll be a great show.
Is the whole band going to be there?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. All six of us are going to be.
This is the first time we get to bring the whole band to Los Angeles. Very exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
going
to be
very
interesting
exciting
to see all six of you on the second stage at the Hotel Cafe.
Yeah.
We did discuss that with them. They were like, it should work.
Intimate. I've seen a group that large on as large as you are on that stage, and at the time there were members of the audience who were actually holding the music stands and the microphones for the lead singer.
Awesome. Well, we might have to enlist some help then.
Yes, the band and the crowd kind of like merge by osmosis just from lack of space. It's a special moment.
Well, speaking of appearances, Gorson in Tampa says, if Sarah's in Florida, will you ever play down here? I think you'd be great at Disney World.
Wow.
Well, if you know anyone, please send them our contact information.
We have been talking about trying to come down to Florida. I mean, that's Miami. Mackenzie is from Tampa, so we've definitely we've talked about coming. I have some friends in Sarasota. I have some friends in Miami, so it'd be nice to be able to come down to visit here.
We hope to do that in 2017, and it'll all be on our website and social media. We're good about posting about that stuff. So if you follow us online, you can be informed.
And your website is?
Our website is bellhousetheband.com.
Okay, bellhousetheband.com. Everybody should log on to it after the show. And do you have a newsletter people can sign up for?
We do
have a mailing list, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I believe
that you can sign up for it on the website. If not, you're welcome to email us directly at bellhousetheband@gmail.com, and we will gladly put you on the mailing list and keep you in touch.
All right. I recommend everybody do that. It's one of the best ways there is to keep track of bands you love, and this is a band you will definitely love. Roxy in Bed-Stuy, which I think is in New York, wants to know, are you going to have a release party in Brooklyn? And I guess you haven't planned that yet, have you?
We absolutely will. Unfortunately, we have not secured a total date for it. That's one of the downfalls of having a six-person band is band member scheduling. but we want to make sure that it's a time when each and every one of us is there and can talk to everybody, and that it's going to be great. So it's definitely in the works.
We're hoping to do a show in February, I think, is the is okay. the
yeah,
goal.
Probably around the beginning of February. So it'll be nice and chilly, and you can come in from the cold and party it up with us. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Okay, Roxy, that's another reason for you to go to their website and sign up for their newsletter and get on their mailing list, because they'll tell you when and where. And I guess Bed-Stuy is close to Brooklyn. I don't know, is it? You know?
It is in Brooklyn, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's a beautiful neighborhood. And we play in it right now is a little exceptional just because it's so close to the holidays and so it's a little bit of an unusual time of year, but we usually play in the New York area in Brooklyn or Manhattan, I'd say at least once a month during the rest of the year. This show will definitely be special, the one probably in early February coming to celebrate the release of the album. But, yeah, if you come and check that out and want to come back and see us again, we're playing around the New York area all the time. So.
Okay. All right. Well, everybody in the New York area, go to their website, sign up for their newsletter, get on the mailing list. Well, we have another song to preview from the album, but before we do that, I know you're launching this album here in California at NAMM, and I want to say congratulations. That's a very big deal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
yeah,
we're
really, really excited to be able to play the showcase there.
Well, for our listeners who don't know NAMM, NAMM stands for the National Association of Music Merchandisers. It's the annual gathering of everybody in the music industry from around the world. Over 100,000 people show up at the Anaheim Convention Center across from Disneyland. It is the biggest showcase in the world, so people kill to have their bands there. And not only are you going to be there, but you're going to be on the main stage. So congratulations. That's really a big deal. And after NAMM, and you play at the Hotel Cafe, and then you're going back and putting together more shows in New York. Is that right?
Yes,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, people should go to your website, sign up on the mailing list. Now, we have an agenda here, and our agenda is to play another sample of the upcoming album, and this is Midnight Road to Nowhere. I hear a little crosstalk there.
Yeah, sorry.
That happens. It's okay. we could spend an hour talking about that particular song, especially the lines, "I think a simple life might suit me better. I like a simple life fine." With six people in a band, I don't think you have a simple life, do you?
No, not in New York City anyway. Yeah.
So this is a song of longing, huh?
It is. I wrote this. Anyone who knows me well knows how much I love the outdoors and how often I talk about someday escaping the city and kind of going off and, you know, building a house somewhere. And it's a bit of a love poem for me to that. But I try, you know, every song I write, I want to really have a universal message that's accessible to people that are not just me. And I think it's when we belt out that chorus together, it's pretty powerful. And I think it can be a very universal feeling that we're all way too caught up in too many things, and
yeah,
we're too busy to live life. So.
Well, I think you really hit the nail on the head with that. Unfortunately, we are out of time, so folks are just going to have to buy the album to hear the whole song and to experience your longing for a simple life in the outdoors. Jess and Sarah, thank you so much for being with us today. It's really a pleasure to have you back on the air.
Thank you so much for having us, Patrick. We really appreciate
it. Thank you so much. Yeah, we had a great time. Thank you.
And before you go, once again, remind people of your website and how best they can get your music.
Okay, our website is bellhousetheband.com, B-E-L-L-E-H-O-U-S-E, is all one word. That's how we spell our name. You can go there.
Also,
you can find us on Facebook. Yes.
Our Bandcamp is bellhouse.bandcamp.com, and actually this week we are offering the single Devil's Sound, which we just released, as a free download or as a pay what you will download.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who might be interested in that can go to our Bandcamp website and download the single.
Wow.
Yep, and you can find our contact information through Bandcamp or through our website, and feel free to reach out to us directly, bellhousetheband@gmail.com, and we will put you on the mailing list.
Okay, all right. And for my Southern California listeners, don't forget they're going to be at the Hotel Cafe in Hollywood. Get tickets in advance. It's going to be a sellout. Thanks again to Sarah and Jess and to B. Brooks, who shot the great pictures of them on the website and on the Twitter feed. We have to take a quick break right now, and waiting in the wings is a really astonishing talent. Indiana Grace is going to be with her. But first of all, I need to let you hear a little bit about our broadcast partner, World Arts.
World Arts brings the entire music world together on one global stage. We give artists the tools to sell and license their music, interact with industry pros, and play live to a whole new audience. Wherever they are on their journey, we want artists to get paid for what they create. At World Arts, fans can discover new songs, get exclusive rewards, and crowdfund projects for artists. Brands can offer opportunities for artists to create original content that fans can instantly vote on and share. World Arts is the global music platform where we can all rise above the noise. Take your career to the next level. Discover new artists. At World Arts, it's all about the music.
You know, we're at World Arts, and you should be too, and it's free. Just sign up right there on their website, and it's a whole new world of music for you, and we love it. And we actually go to some of the concerts there, and we held our launch party at World Arts, their venue in Culver City, and it was one of the best we've ever had. Anyway, we're back, as you could tell. We're back here at Music Friday Live. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan, and we'd like to hear from you. Today, it's email only, no phone calls. Sorry, we have a little technical problem. But we'll read your email on the air. Before our next guest, however, we are going to take a quick little trip to Mexico.
Just 2 hours south of the California border lies the enchanting seaside town of San Felipe, Baja California, where friendly people, warm waters, and a relaxing vacation awaits. And it all starts at www.mysanfelipevacation.com. Whether you choose to golf on the 18-hole championship course overlooking the Sea of Cortez with friends, enjoy a romantic weekend for two on the beach, or take the whole family for a fun-filled weekend of shopping and activities, you'll be sure to find just the right accommodations at mysanfelipevacation.com. So what are you waiting for? Isn't it time you got away? Visit www.mysanfelipevacation.com today. That's www.mysanfelipevacation.com. See you in San Felipe.
And everybody knows that if I didn't have a cough, my voice would sound just like that, right? If you're in Southern California or Arizona, there is a fabulous vacation waiting for you, and it's only half day's drive. It's in San Felipe, which is on Mexico's Sea of Cortez, and you can golf and swim and take the family clamming and fishing and tour galleries and dine on Mexico's finest seafood, which comes right out of the ocean right in front of you there. And if you want to, you can even fly an ultralight on the beach. And you can do all this while you stay in a luxury condo, a budget studio apartment, or even a private sandcastle out in the dunes. The key to this paradise is mysanfelipevacation.com. That's mysanfelipevacation.com. It's a place for accommodations in San Felipe and La Hacienda Beach and even in the mountainside homes in the stunning El Dorado Ranch. For a getaway weekend or a week's escape, go to mysanfelipevacation.com. And best of all, if you use the code MFLA5, you get a discount. That's right, you get a discount. So that's mysanfelipevacation.com and use the discount code MFLA5 and you will get the special Music Friday Live discount. Well, Indiana Grace has a classical voice and a soulful pop sensibility. Whether it's rap or ballads, she makes them sound heart-rendering and beautiful. Indiana Grace grew up in the Swiss Alps, and she began singing and writing pop songs, much, I suspect, to the surprise of her classical piano and vocal teachers. But her talent was so obvious so early that she was the first pop singer ever accepted into the prestigious School for Gifted Children of the Performing Arts in Switzerland. And then she went on to the equally prestigious Zurich University of the Arts. And it can't be denied that she makes you feel wonderful when you listen to her singing. Well, after connecting with a Swiss rapper, C-Beat, and co-producing and appearing in his first album, which chops to the charts, she headed for the famed Berklee College of Music in Boston, studying new styles of songwriting and performing. And the result of all of this is just pure beauty in sound. Her debut album is ready to go, and the singles Lose Count and Avalanche are out there now. And we have all of her new songs, and we're going to preview some of them for you. But even better, we have Indiana Grace here with us. Indiana, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you so much.
Indiana, I can tell that this album has been a labor of love, or love lost, according to the lyrics. But how long have you been working on it?
It's been a while in the works. Like, I've written many songs in my life, especially in Berklee. I used to write like 2 songs a week. So it was really choosing my favorites of those songs and finding kind of a nice balance for an EP of the songs I wrote, which was not easy. It's like choosing between your babies, which ones you like the best, and each has their own aspects of something you like more or less, but something special to each song. So, yeah, that's how it kind of came together.
You know, the solution to that is a double album, but that's a lot of work. Right? Well,
yeah.
You have such a varied background, and you're conversant in so many styles. And what made you decide to do your first album solo, no band, just you and the piano or you and the guitar? Did you want to spotlight your voice in this debut?
Well, if I listen to radio right now, which I of course enjoy, I kind of miss sometimes a bit the purity of just hearing someone's voice without all this production and all this hall and all this auto-tune and everything. Something really to the core, what I miss kind of is like the music when I was growing up, and what I kind of grew up on was like Bruce Springsteen, David Gray, Emmylou Harris, Johnny Cash, that kind of vibe of like really soulful, powerful music that really just speaks with the voice and the lyrics and the melodies.
Well, it all works very well. In fact, I want to let our audience in on what we're talking about. This is a single from the album. This is Avalanche.
Giving in with
Well, I guess Avalanche is kind of an apt song for a woman who was raised in the Swiss Alps, but I know there's more than snow there, right? It sounds like you mined your own experience for those lyrics. You want to tell us about it?
Sure. Well, the song actually was based on a guy I met in Boston, where, you know, there's blizzards and snow and everything too. So I guess the snow kind of makes me think back home, and there are like avalanches there and skiing and snowboarding and everything. But it basically talks about a relationship that's so overpowering and amazing, like this first love moment where you're really just kind of overwhelmed almost and kind of forgetting your own life a bit. But there's something beautiful there, and you know that if you can just kind of tame it down, and when like all this powerfulness kind of, you know, slows down, that there's something pure there, and that there's something worth holding on to.
Well, first of all, I lived in Boston. I don't think there's any avalanches there, but I get the point.
No.
Right?
There's a lot of snow, though, in the winter, and it's very cold.
A lot of snow. I remember the first time I showed up in Boston for my coursework at MIT, and I had arrived from Los Angeles, and I didn't even have a coat with me. I had no clue.
Oh, my God. Oh, yes, God, you poor thing.
Yeah, you probably showed up with all the right clothes, right?
Yep, I was ready.
Well, you've also released another single, Lose Count, which is mm-hmm. also sounds pretty painful, both in lyrics and in the video. So I want to play a little bit of the song and then talk about both the lyrics and the video, because they're both quite striking. Here's Lose Count. Losing count of the times you have cried, such powerful poetry and powerful lines. And I especially love the way you use your voice not only to convey meaning, but to give the song kind of a rhythmic melody. It's stunning. Did you write that?
I did. I wrote it. I composed it. I do basically everything on my own songs. They're really just a part of me, a piece of me.
It really shows, or it really sounds. You can hear that, and particularly the way in which you modulate your voice against the piano. It's remarkable. Now the video has you sitting on a swinging platform, like you're on a lonely porch swing out in the galaxy someplace. right? And it's really nice. In fact, we have an email on it here. Was that your idea?
So actually the whole concept and everything, my father came up with. He directed the whole thing. He came up with the whole script and everything. We, of course, ping-ponged ideas back and forth, but he's very visually talented, so he came up with this whole platform, and we actually built it and everything in the studio together.
Wow.
So it was a father-daughter, a big, big father-daughter project.
It sounds like it. Well, Randy in San Diego has obviously looked at the video, because Randy says, I checked out the video, and how high were you swinging?
It wasn't that high, actually. It was just, I can't say meters, huh, because we're now in America. It was like 3 feet. It wasn't really high. It seems higher than it actually is. That's the whole concept of it.
Oh, well, whoever filmed it gave the impression that you were in outer space with that. So congratulations to your father, to your film crew, and to Randy for checking it out. Now, there's some effects in the video. There's a burning house,
right. Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
there is a reversal of a liquid flowing over you. I assume those are metaphors?
Yeah, I mean, the whole song kind of tries to reflect the moment of the words that are being sung, in also imagery that's more than just me on a swing or my face. Well, the burning house is kind of, you know, like rebuilding, renewing something that people keep saying, oh, it's not going to work out, and, you know, all this negativity, and kind of being like redoing it and refocusing on what's important. But it kind of represents of the comments that, like, it's not going to work out, and, you know, it's doomed to fail.
And, of course, it hasn't failed. It's been the opposite. You've succeeded. And incidentally, I hope that was stock footage, that you didn't go out and burn a house down for the video. I assume.
No, this was like a little baby, actually, thought, like a very, very special Victorian dollhouse, which we built together for weeks on end. It's like this wooden, it's a mini wooden house, but, you know, with filming and everything like that, you can make things look quite realistic. Don't want to give
wow.
away everything.
Wow, this was quite a project. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
it was.
I wanted to ask you. You went to Zurich University of the Arts, which has a world class music program, but it's heavily classical. Did you study voice there for pop?
I did. It was special because I was accepted to the school as the first pop musician ever, not only vocalist but pop musician in general. So I was studying theory and harmony with the classical people, but they kind of had to specifically make some adjustments for me so I could learn, like, jazz, pop composition more. So it was kind of a weird, interesting mixture during those years of studying, because I had a lot of exceptions that were going on with me and the kind of figuring out what they can do with me a bit, but it was a great experience.
Did the classical students kind of envy you?
I don't think so. I mean, it was different because the teacher that was teaching was a little, I wouldn't say overwhelmed, but just had to adjust. Everybody had to adjust a bit.
Well, the reason I ask is that there is quite a few classically trained singers, many of whom come out of Berkeley, who've gone into pop and even heavy metal. Militia Vox, who is also from a conservatory with an operatic background, now is the lead singer for Judith Priestess. And I actually just saw her in the Rocky Horror show, and I know a number of others. So I kind of wondered
right.
about the that there's kind of becoming a little blur between classical and opera and pop these days, particularly in the metal world. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, well, the thing is with classical training in any instrument, as if it's like vocals, guitar, whatever it is, it's really the base of it all. It's the techniques that you're learning. I also first started with classical training. My mother drove me in the Swiss Alps for a half an hour to see the only classical singing teacher around us, because I grew up in a town with less than 100 people. So it was pretty tiny. But it was just, especially in a younger age, and I began with such a young age, that I really had to learn how to use my voice well, use it in a healthy way, especially, really build it up because it's something fragile. You can get knots, you can get all these things, all these issues. So classical singing really kind of prevented that because I really learned the basics of it all. And then my love from pop kind of dipped into that at some point. I remember the first concert I had was in the Swiss Alps. I chose to sing Oops, I Did It Again. And I remember studying with my teacher the song, and she operized it. It was a very interesting sounding song from Britney Spears. The day of the show, I showed up in a little crop top and a little glitter heart on my bum, like in the video Baby One More Time, totally idolizing to the time good old Britney, and sang it completely the way I wanted to. And at the end of the show, I remember everybody was just, you know, it's a small town. They were not really used to that much pizzazz, I would say. And everybody was quiet, and then it was like the slow clapping that turned into good clapping. I remember my teacher telling me, like, oh, okay, yeah, that's another way to do it. Because, you know, for like months we had been practicing it really like an opera. So it was a really great experience. I have it somewhere on tape. I need to fish it out.
I wish there was a video of that up on YouTube. But you wouldn't
maybe
do that, would you?
I'll put it up.
Well, speaking of other genres, before you moved to the U.S., you connected with the Swiss rapper C-Beat, and you co-produced one of his best albums ever. How did you meet, and how was working with a rapper, and is that something you think you'll ever do again?
Good question. To the time where MySpace was still a thing, I had a MySpace. And he had found my YouTube, I believe, or because I had older videos that are now not there anymore, but there were older videos, and he really liked my voice and wanted to do a song with a singer, and we started writing, then we met up. He was actually from the Swiss Alps, where I grew up, so I drove up there. I took a train once up there and met him in person and everything and asked, you know, what his idea was. And we really clicked musically, and one song turned into a whole album. It was funny because he had all these beats that he was presenting, and then we would listen to them and kind of choose our favorites. And then we talked about what this beat, this mood reminds of us, what theme. There were different themes. There was mother love. There was kind of a club song. There was a love song, like a more of a believing in yourself, confident kind of song. So they were really touched on many themes, the whole album, which was really a fun project that I did with him. And I'd be open to working with a rapper again. I really love the project, and in my free time I also do top lining, and I'm working with a producer and different writers, so it's definitely, I'm not opposed to it at all.
Okay. We are talking with Indiana Grace about her new singles and her upcoming debut album. You can talk with her too, only email today. Unfortunately, we have a problem with the second phone line, so you can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com, and actually some of you are already. We have an email here from Marvin in San Antonio who wants to know if you've ever been to South by Southwest or do you ever plan on going?
Oh, wow. Have I been to South by Southwest?
I think you know it.
I don't think so, no.
Okay, all right. No, if you... If you've been to South by Southwest, you would know it, you and 50,000 other people. Okay. All right. We're going to play a little more music here. I'm going to play a bit of a song, the song Tightrope, to give our audience a taste of the urgency that you can put in your lyrics and in your voice.
My heart was unprotected. Now we fight and we shout. I'm sad and worn out. Can't help but feel neglected. Can't keep on any longer. I'm tense and tired. In a second I might fall. I'm flying on a tightrope. I'm flying on a tightrope. I'm flying.
again, there's that use of the voice to create both rhythm and melody. Is that part of classical singing, to learn how to control your voice so well and make it do multiple things at the same time?
I'm not sure if that's really classical singing related. I think that's just a me related thing, because I really love melodies. It's like Play-Doh to me. Like, I love forming it and playing with it and using textures and changing from verse to like chorus, the whole rhythmic balance of it and everything. It's really something I like playing around with.
I love that picture. Melody is Play-Doh, right? I'm gonna remember that one. Okay. The tightrope you sing about in that song. What's the tightrope?
Right. The tightrope is a relationship. It was a relationship I was in. As you see, I write a lot of love songs. It's really basically my life. I say it's my diary out loud. But it's a song based on a relationship I had, where I felt something was uncertain, something was uneasy, something wasn't quite right, and turned out it wasn't. But it's all about that kind of imbalance of feeling like something's not quite kosher here. And at the end of it, me being like, look, this is not working for me. This is just too many secrets. Something feels like my gut is telling me something's so not right. I'm just going to listen to my gut and go with it. So the song of Tightrope is really kind of that feeling unbalanced, not sure what's happening, kind of this uneasiness. Like in Avalanche, I'm kind of just, you know, showing it more through imagery, I guess, through a more of a concept than being like, I'm feeling uneasy, which is kind of a thing I've been doing lately quite a bit.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that you're uneasy quite a bit, but it really makes for great for great song material. So,
which is a relationship. It came and went.
Okay. All right. We're getting a little tight on time, but we do have a couple more emails here.
Sure. I'd love to.
Selena in San Diego says, I love your voice. Do you ever play live, and have you ever played in San Diego, or will you come down here?
Oh, thank you so much. I haven't played live in a little while, just because I was focusing really on my EP, focusing on working with producers and writers out here in LA and really getting my feet wet. But I definitely want to start doing shows, and I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to San Diego. It's a beautiful place.
And we have an email here from Tom or Thom in Dallas, who wants to know, how was moving to the States, and particularly to LA, for somebody raised in the snow?
Oh, actually, I love the sun. I love the heat. My parents have said, you're meant to be in LA. It was always a dream to be in the States, and especially in Los Angeles. It took me a while to get here, but I absolutely love it. It's so different from Switzerland, for sure. I mean, every place has its positives and negatives, but LA is a great place, especially if you're really in love with music and want to share that with the world.
Which is why that it's known as the music capital of the world. Well, we're almost out of time. Yes, but I have one more song here I want to play. This is Bit by Bit. It's from the upcoming album.
Forgotten twice before. Brokenhearted, feeling hopeless, I shut my door. Then you came to my rescue and picked me off the ground. You gave me time, earned my trust, till I came around.
I assume that that's a song about another personal experience.
It is. Like, all my songs are really about my life. It's not really anything fabricated. If something is like, you know, a little bit more saturated than the actual story, or a little change, but the main idea is always based on a true story I lived through. I think that's the best way I can really put the emotions in my songs, because I lived through them.
Well, I assume that that was a very important person in your life.
It was. It was my first big love. So it was really a song about, you know, taking it easy and really falling head over heels for someone, but really taking the time and not going straight into something head on, but really letting it grow like, it, you know, and develop like a flower.
Well, I love the concept that your lyrics are kind of your diary sung out loud. I think we're all richer for it, and I really appreciate it very much. We are running out of time, but before we do that, first of all, where do people find you?
I think the best way would go to go to my website, which is Indiana-grace.com, which is spelled out I-N-D-I-A-N-A, like the state, -grace.com. And that's where you'll find all my social media, my YouTube, like everything is there, my biographies and pictures. Like, that's basically the whole like little motherboard of everything.
And when will the new album be released? Do you have a date yet?
There's no set date yet, because I really just want to take my time with these two songs, really kind of get it out there, and then once I'm ready to put out the full thing and really go all out, then that will be done. But we're working on it with my PR company.
Well, let us know, and we'll let our listeners know, and maybe bring you on for a few minutes to tell them about it, because this is going to be, as everybody has heard, this is going to be a wonderful album, and I'm looking forward to seeing the final product. And like I say,
most
we're all richer.
I will.
We're all richer for the fact that you sing your diary. Okay. But in the meantime, your singles, the new singles that you've released, are on Spotify and on iTunes, so people can get them there. And folks,
also,
like
all
I say,
links available on my website.
Okay. And like she says, the best place to start is www.indiana-grace.com. And from there, you can go to Facebook and to Instagram and Twitter and YouTube. And incidentally, don't miss the videos. Click the like button after you watch them. Well, Indiana, thank you so much for taking the time with us. This has been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Patrick. The pleasure is all mine. It was a great time. And it was, thank you for all your questions and all the great emails.
And that, and remind everybody once more, www.indiana-grace.com. Well, you've been listening to Music Friday Live with Patrick O'Heffernan from CyberStation USA, blogtalkradio.com, and our radio affiliates. And also, you'll hear us tonight on the Artist Network in London. Check out our Facebook page and like it, and follow our Twitter feed, and you'll get real-time updates on all of our guests. Our producer, Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartlebin. Our intern is Angeline Serrano. Our theme music has been kindly provided by Blame Sally. Download this and other Music Friday programs at blogtalkradio.com/musicfriday. Be here next Friday. Our guest will be, if we're lucky, the great Las Cafeteras, back from their sold-out nationwide tour. So check our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we will let you know. That's it for now. Have a great musical weekend. Ciao. We got to run now. They're going to throw me off the air. Bye.